So look with me at verse 4 and we'll read through 7. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits in a span. That's over 9 feet tall. 9 feet. Some scholars believe it was more like 10 feet tall. This is a teenage boy that we're talking about in David, probably about half the height of Goliath, okay? Probably about a third of his weight, no doubt. So he's over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head. He wore a coat of scale armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. That's about 125 pounds. That's armor. 125 pounds of armor. That's more than you put on when you go in a fire, right, Ron? That is a lot of weight to carry into battle, right? 125 pounds. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. The point of it weighed about 15 pounds. His shield bearer went ahead of him. You know, I read that. His shield bearer went ahead of him? Really? I mean, does this guy really need a shield bearer? He's 10 foot tall, for crying out loud. He's fully clothed in armor. He needs a shield bearer, you know? Wow. Now, that's quite an enemy. Talk about intimidation. If you're like 5 foot tall, 15 years old, and you're looking up at this dude that's like 10 feet tall, dressed with all this armor on, I could see very easily where intimidation would set in. How about you, right? But how many of you know there's things that we face in life that are just like that? That there are things that we face in lives, in our lives, that are like the Goliath. Bigger than we can even comprehend. Staring us down. Whatever the problem might be. Maybe it's discouragement. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's a financial issue. And it's like a giant in your life. And it's intimidating you. Let me tell you something, friend. The good news today is that with God's help, with his courage, and with faith, you can rise above that intimidation and you can conquer whatever it is that's coming against you. Because God's word tells us that it can be done. Look at verses 8 and 9 with me. Obviously, the odds were stacked against David and the army of Israel. Here's Goliath taunting. Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us. The rest of the army is kind of like, you want to fight him? No, I'm not going out there. I think you can handle it. Not me, man. And that's pretty much where the whole army was. They're just looking at each other going, do you have a strategy? Do you have a game plan? No, I don't know what to do about it. All the while, Goliath just keeps coming up. You know, this dude's so big, I think the ground shook when he walked, kind of thing. You know, he keeps coming out and he keeps every day ridiculing God's people. Every day, okay, choose somebody. Come fight me. Come on. I can even hear him laugh. It doesn't say that in Scripture, but I can hear him taunting and laughing, cursing God's people. But David knew something that everyone else had forgotten. And perhaps you're here today, and you knew this at one time, but you've forgotten it. When David came on the scene, David knew that the Philistines didn't stand a chance against God. They didn't stand a chance. What drove everyone else was fear, but what consumed David was faith. Because no enemy is too strong. You know, this morning I want to ask you a very poignant question. What drives you? Fear or faith? You're going to be motivated and driven by one or the other, especially when intimidation is staring down circumstantially in your world. Are you going to be filled with fear? Are you going to operate in fear? Or are you going to step forward in courage with faith and say, God is greater, God is able? It's one or the other. Because here's what we need to believe. Matter of fact, I want us to say this. Go to the next slide there, guys. I want us to say this together. Believe this. There is no enemy too strong. That's faith talking right there. There's no crisis. There's no situation too great. There's no addiction too great that I can't overcome it. Amen? For some of you, man, addiction is staring you down like Goliath with intimidation. Bigger than life. I can't overcome it. I can't get beyond it. Yes, you can. With faith and courage. And you can't do it alone. No. But with God, all things are possible. You can overcome the intimidation. You can overcome the addiction. Maybe you've got problems in your marriage and you're living together, but you just feel like roommates. That's pretty intimidating when you have those kind of problems. But God is greater than the problem that's staring you down. Maybe it's loneliness because there's a family member that has been there that's no longer there, and you're so lonely that that loneliness is an intimidation staring you down. But God is greater. He can come alongside of you and give you the love and the support and the comfort. He can be right there with you. That's why this statement is true, that there is no enemy too strong. Secondly, let me say this. Be a difference maker by trusting in God and following His game plan. By trusting in God and following His game plan. How many of you know that God specializes in taking that which is weak and using it to fulfill His will? It's true. For some of you, maybe you haven't seen that. Maybe you haven't lived through that. Maybe you haven't experienced. But trust those of us who have. It's true. God uses those of us who are weak and frail to do great things for Him. He specializes in weak weapons and wounded warriors. He does. And I'm so glad He does. Because many of us in this room have been wounded, right? Many of us in this room have felt weak at times. But God specializes in weak instruments, weak weapons, and wounded warriors. He does. When David came on the scene, he decided to battle against Goliath. And right there, the interesting thing about it is he came on the scene to bring his brother something to eat. David was not in the game. He was the water boy. You know, when was the last time you had a football game? They call timeout. All of a sudden you see the water boys and water gals go out there. And, you know, they don't look like they're ready to play the game by any stretch of the imagination, right? I mean, can you imagine? Hey, you're in this play. What? No pads on, nothing. Yeah, we want you. You're going to run. You're going to sweep wide left. What? You know, no, of course not. You know, because who puts the water boy in the game? God. God puts the water boy in the game. David is literally just delivering lunch to his brothers, his older brothers, who were among those who were like, do you want to take him on? No, I'm not taking him on. How about you? I think you're the one that wants to die today, you know. But David is there delivering lunch to his brothers. But he heard what was going on. And something rose up inside of him when he heard Goliath ridiculing his brothers and the rest of the army. When he heard that giant mocking God, he just got to the point where he's like, I can't take it anymore. And a young boy who was there just to deliver lunch, just to be the water boy, all of a sudden says, let me in the game. Because he believed that God was a difference maker. And he believed that by trusting God and following God's plan, that he would be victorious. Look at Samuel 17, 1 Samuel 17, verse 26. As David, he began to get angry, really, what he was hearing. Look with me at verse 26. David asked the men standing near him, "Who is this guy? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Who is he?" Can you imagine? Here's a water boy, 15, 16 years old. "Who is this guy anyway?" "Well, what got into you?" You know, you know what I mean? It's like, that's kind of like the water boy showing up in the huddle telling him what play to run. You know, who is this guy? Well, who's David after all? But David didn't feel that he could let this man make fun of God or his people any longer. And he became ready to fight. So King Saul caught wind of what was going on. And he's like, "Somebody actually wants to go out and fight the Philistine? Really? You mean after all these days of him coming out and taunting us and nobody wanting to fight, somebody actually wants to fight this guy? Send him to my tent." That's in essence what King Saul was saying. Pick it up at verse 32. David shows up in Saul's tent. Look what it says here. "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." This is a water boy talking here, right? Let me in the game, coach. I want to run this play. I'm sure we can score a touchdown if I run this play. I'm sure of it. Just let me in the game. Now look at Saul's response. "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from youth." But I just love David, you know, again, his response. He assured Saul, hey, God's got this. I'm not going to do this on my own. God's got this. God's going to give me the ability. God's going to give me the strength to get through this. God's going to help me overcome that giant. You know, we face things in our lives on a daily basis that we need to sometimes go back to this passage, and we need to remind ourselves, God's got this. When was the last time you told yourself that? When was the last time you should have told yourself that, you know? Instead of fretting, instead of worrying, instead of stewing or brewing, instead of inning sideways. When was the last time that you know, I should have just taken it to the Lord and said, "You got it, Lord. This is yours." Or maybe you should have heeded the advice of another brother or sister in Christ who said, "Don't worry about it. God's got this." Some of you need to hear that this morning. Some of you are fretting over circumstances and situations. Don't worry about it. God's got this. If you're his child, if you're following him, if you're obedient to his word, if you're walking in his ways, God's got this. Some of you, you know, here's the thing. It'd be good for some of you to say this right now. This is an act of faith, just saying, you know, because you're going to hear yourself say it, and that's going to build faith, of course, but you're going to bring some reassurance. Just say it with me. Humor me. God's got this. What does he have? Think about it. What does he have in your life right now? What did you just give him? What issue? What problem? What fear? Again, that intimidation. What addiction? What issue? Say it again. God's got this. And he'll use you to overcome. Even though you may be a wounded warrior, he will still use you to overcome. Man, what a great story this is. Sometimes it's difficult to preach from a passage that everybody's so familiar with. Because, you know, it's like there's so many different ways that you could tell the story, although it is pretty factual. It is just what it is. But still, I mean, you could elaborate and go so many different ways with it. But here's the thing I've learned about this story, that when you need to be reassured that God is greater than any set of circumstances or issues or concerns that you're facing, this is a great passage to turn to. And read it for yourself and let faith rise. Saul actually tried to put his armor on David. Now, Saul was a big guy, Scripture says. He wasn't as big as Goliath, but he was a big guy. So they put his armor on David, and David's like, man, I can't do this. I mean, it's like putting pads from a, you know, like a 330-pound lineman on a 5'5" running back. I mean, and the helmet, you know, just goes sideways and you're looking out the hole kind of thing. That's not going to work, right? This is the same kind of thing with the armor. He put on Saul's armor. Saul's armor just did not fit. It was cumbersome. He's like, I can't fight in this armor. You know, there's a couple of different things there I think that we could pick up on. Number one is we have to fight in our own armor. We can't wear someone else's armor. We have to know who we are in Christ. And we have to put on Christ. Matter of fact, Scripture says, rather clothe yourselves with who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. We need to put on Christ. But you've got to do that for yourself. You can't wear someone else's armor. You can't serve someone else's God. You got to serve him for yourself. And you got to put him on for yourself, right? So, he tried on the armor. It just didn't work out so well. And David, by saying that, it's like, you know what? It's not me anyway. It's not what I'm going to put on. It's not what kind of weapon I have in my hand. It's really God's power and his strength that's going to come through me that's going to conquer this giant. You know, that should be an encouragement to many of us here in this room today. Because many of us, we face issues in our lives and we go, I just don't have what it takes to deal with this. Am I the only one in the room? I know I'm not. I just don't have what it takes. And you know what? You're right, you don't. Outside of yourself. In yourself, you don't. But outside of yourself, in Christ, you do. But only in Christ. Because it's Christ in you that's the hope of glory. It's Christ in you where he can accomplish the great things. Not outside of that. Only in Christ can it be done. But here's what David said. He looked at King Saul and he said, hey, listen, I've got a slingshot, and I'm pretty good with a sling. Saul said, yeah, but you're just a boy. You're just a shepherd boy. But David replied, but I've killed a bear, and I've killed a lion. And the same God who gave me victory over those will give me victory today. So he didn't go to fight that giant with a javelin or a spear or a sword. He fought the giant with this. That's it. Smooth stone. You know, there's some people say, well, why did he pick up five? I don't know. There's probably some symbolism in that, like fivefold ministry. I don't know. Was it a lack of faith? I don't think so. Not with who he was going up against. I don't think there was an ounce of doubt or fear in him. He dealt with that intimidation. But with one smooth stone and a sling. And I don't have a sling like they would have had back then, but I'm sure it wasn't like we have a slingshot today. It was more like a piece of leather bound up to where you would whirl it around like this, and at the right moment, sling it. One smooth stone took out the giant. Who would have thought? If those boys that had been standing around for days on end, being taunted, ridiculed, mocked, made fun of, if they would have known that all they had to do was pray to the God of the armies in heaven and get a sling, But they didn't have the faith and the courage to do that. Only David did. But with one smooth stone. So again, that proves to me that there is no warrior or weapon too weak. Matter of fact, bring that up. Believe this, say this with me. No warrior or weapon is too weak. For crying out loud, it just took this. To drop a 10-foot giant. A stone. I don't know if you've ever had stones thrown at you before. It hurts, right? Remember as kids, sometimes we do foolish stuff like that. But really, a stone, one smooth stone to drop somebody that's fully clothed in armor? Again, he had to hit him at just the right place, which he did, because God was with him. No warrior or weapon is too weak. Number three, be a difference maker by battling it out on the line of scrimmage. You know, I like to think of the line of scrimmage being that place of prayer. We have to battle it out in prayer first. Amen. Whatever the circumstance, whatever the intimidation factor is, whatever the giant is in your life, the battle has to be won on the line of scrimmage. The battle has to be won in prayer. Amen. David was prayed up. David spent all of his time while he was out in the field shepherding. He spent time communicating with God. That's why he had so much courage. That's why he had so much faith. That's how he beat and overcame the lion and the bear. How? Because he knew the God that he trusted in. If you know anything about football, where's the game won or lost? The line of scrimmage. If you don't have a line that blocks for you, you're done. Lights out. If we don't have a prayer life, hear me out now. If we don't have a prayer life where the battle's won in prayer first, we're done. That's prayer is so important. It's vital. And do you know that the enemy will do everything? Man, it's humorous in some ways, but it's sobering in another. He will do everything he can to keep us from praying. He will throw every distraction, every preoccupation. I mean, for crying out loud, if you're like me, you go to prayer and all of a sudden everything else comes to mind that you have to do. Right? Who else is with me on that? You start to pray, it's like, oh yeah, I got to do this. That's why I don't dare come to the church first thing in the morning and try to pray here. I find myself just jumping right into work. I see stuff, this needs to be done, I need to do that. I'm better off just praying at home, you know? Praying in my prayer closet. Not a real closet, but you get the idea. But praying before I do anything for him. Spending time with him before I do anything for him. That was the case with David. He spent time in God's presence prior to this moment. And it's the time that he spent with God prior to this moment that made him victorious in the moment. Are you with me on this? The importance of prayer, spending time with God. It's vital. Pick it up at verse 47, because here we see David leaving the huddle to approach the giant alone. Verse 43. This is the Philistine talking here. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." And again, David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty." Here's an interesting fact, too, that when David said that right there, if you were to look in the original language, he is referring to the God who is Yahweh Sabaoth. In other words, the God who gives us rest. That's interesting. Not exactly what you would think that you would see in a passage like that in the middle of warfare, that God's going to give you rest. But David had that much confidence in God that he said, okay, God, I know that I'm going to be victorious. I know that this giant's going to come down. And after he comes down, we're all going to rest. We're going to be victorious. And we're going to rest in him. That's pretty powerful faith right there. But let's read on here. It says, I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Wow. This very day I will give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. Woo! If we were at a football game right now, that would be a run back. That's like a 99-yard run back on a kickoff right there, that passage. You hear me? That's what that is. It's like, whoa, wow, that is an incredible passage. The courage and the boldness that David exemplifies right here. You know what it says to me? Bring up the next slide, guys. Here's what it says to me. No battle is too big. Whatever you're facing, wherever you're at, however the battle's going on the line of scrimmage for you, no battle is too big. Just tackle it in prayer first. And then come out and watch what God does. Look at verse 48. As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Like a running back. He knows he's headed right for that line of scrimmage, right where all that activity is. And he tucks the ball. And he just lowers his head and right in he goes. That's what David is doing in this moment. He says, I know that I am just about to be victorious because God has already won the battle. Because the battle wasn't David's. The battle isn't yours. The battle belongs to the Lord. It's true. It's his battle. Let him fight it. You pray about it, you trust God, you let him fight it, right? You got it? That's his game plan, friends, right there. You pray about it, you give it to him, you know he's got it, you believe, and you just leave the results to God. That's the way he wants us to do things. So David, again, he grabbed his sling and his rock. He started spinning it around and around and around. And I just, this picture, I've said oftentimes, some of you have heard me say this, I can't wait to get to heaven because I believe, and I could be wrong on this, but I don't think I am. I believe that we're going to have videos on demand in heaven. It's kind of like heaven's version of Netflix, where we can pull up, like I'd say, I just want to see that battle of David against Goliath again. Lord, can you just bring that up for me? Bloop, right there it is. The whole scene, just as it was. Videotape for us in heaven just to, you can believe what you want, but I'm believing for heavenly Netflix when I get there. And I'm going to watch some of these plays. I'm telling you, I'm going to watch them. And I can't wait on that video clip to see David, little David, 5 foot tall probably, going against this 10 foot, and he's coming out like this against this guy. Seriously. And he's like, I'm sure the giant's probably laughing at him. The whole army over there is laughing at him. But David's slinging, and he's got confidence. He's got courage. He's got faith. And he's probably just worshiping as he does it, too. And it's like, this dude is about to drop. He's about to go down. And he's just, and then, boom. One reason I can't wait to see this video is I want to see the looks on the Philistines' faces when Goliath hit the dust, when he bit the dust, when he hit the ground. Can you imagine? Slow motion. Yeah, exactly, Kevin. We can go to slow motion. We can keep watching. I'm going to see that again. Just back up a little bit. Oh, yeah, that part right there. The dust cloud. And when the dust cloud settles and the sky's clear, all of a sudden the Philistines take off running. They know that they are done for at that moment because their biggest, baddest dude just dropped. And he was their only hope for victory. It's a powerful, powerful story, isn't it? I want to show you this video clip. It's from the movie Woodlawn. And it's one of those moments. And some of you may be there at this point in your life. And perhaps this message is that point in your life where the encouragement is there for you just to trust God and run the play. Just get in the game, follow God's game plan, and let him do what he wants to do. Go ahead and play it, guys.
Hey there, David.
What do you say you go in there right now and take down that giant? Make them all believe.
Lines up at their own 20 in the I formation. Their tailback, number 22, we've not seen him before. His name is Tony Nathan.
Go, Tony!
Nathan breaks a tackle. Look at this guy go to the 40 past midfield. One more man to meet. There he goes to the 30. The 10, and for the first time in over a year, Huffman has been hit. Touchdown, Woodlawn, an unbelievable run. What a play by young Tony Nathan.
If you mock God, the God of heaven's armies, then there will be consequences. It cost Goliath his head, literally. It's a good lesson for us. We should never turn a blind eye or a deaf ear away from Scripture, but we should turn to God and what he has to say. This is our weapon, church. This, in addition to prayer, is our weapon. Matter of fact, in Isaiah 54:17, it says, "No weapon formed against us will prosper." Say that again. I think it's on the screen. No weapon formed against us will prosper. You need to believe that for your life. You need to believe that for where you're at right now. Here's another one, 2 Thessalonians 3:3. "But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one." God's got this. God will fight the battle for you. And I'm coming towards the end of my message, but I want to show you another short clip here. It's later on in the season. The clip that you just saw was early on, before they even knew what a talent Tony Nathan was. This is later on in the season. I like this clip because it shows the progression that happened between the time that he was first put in the game as a running back and they didn't know what he was capable of doing to now, to where this team has transitioned and changed. There's growth, there's development, there's maturity, and all of a sudden they're playing like they have hope and like they have a purpose. Oh, how I long for the church to get to that place. Not just our church, but all churches together. Amen. We get to that place where we know the power that we have. And that we live in the fullness of the power and the purpose that God has given us. But this clip, you see the development that's taken place. And they're in the playoffs. And they're getting ready to play the biggest game of the season. And the chaplain comes into the room. Well, the rest of the story is told on the clip. So go ahead and play it.
Okay, boys, listen up. The preacher wants to say a few words.
Thank you, Coach.
Make it good.
Right there.
this day. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down.
So that all on earth know that there is a God in Israel. And David reached into his pocket, and he pulled out a stone, and he slung it, and it struck the Philistine in the head, and he fell. You know what's going to happen? You're going to win this game tonight. You hear me?
Yes, sir.
You're going to win this game. You want to know how I know that you're going to win this game? Because it's not about you. Nobody out there knows what's happened with this team. But when you win on this day, they will. When you do what everyone said is impossible, they will.
Yeah.
When you strike down this giant, they will.
Yeah.
And when they find out how you did it, then all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel on this day. On this day. On this day. On this day. On this day.
If that doesn't get you going. Maybe some of you need to adopt that phrase. On this day. On this day. Tomorrow morning when you get up. It's Monday morning. Ooh. Monday, are Mondays tough for anybody else? Come on, the rest of you, be honest now. Mondays are tough days for most of the world, you know? But when you get up and it's Monday morning and you know what you have before you, on this day, I'm going to see victory. I'm going to see God do something. I'm going to see the potential. This is the last point, fourth quarter, last point for... That's fine. Point number four, and the last, and I'm going to wrap it up quickly here. Be a difference maker by receiving victory. If what the passage says is true, that the battle is not ours, but it's God's, then we don't have to take the victory. We just need to receive the victory. Right? The battle is the Lord's. The victory is ours. Did you get that? The battle, whatever battles you're facing, whatever demons, issues you're dealing with, the battle is the Lord's, and the victory will be yours. Look at verse 47 one more time. It says, all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. I am going to be victorious. Victorious in Christ. The battle is not mine. The battle is not yours. Whatever the battle is, belongs to him. If you haven't already given it to him, we're going to give you an opportunity just in a few moments to do so, to give it to him, to leave it with him, and to trust it into his hands. Because let me tell you something, when you do that, he will give you the victory. The victory is promised. The victory is promised by him. David was a difference maker because he trusted God. You can be a difference maker in the same way, by trusting God, believing in his potential, believing in his game plan, following. What's God's game plan, Pastor? Right here it is. This is the game plan. This is the playbook right here. By following his word, by adhering to his word, by spending time in his presence, spending time in prayer, getting into his word, we know his heart, we know his mind, we can follow him, we can obey him. And we will have victory in Christ Jesus. But we must know him. We must have a relationship with him. Personally, individually. Go to the next slide, if you will, guys. We have another one. One more to read here. Believe this. God is counting on you. The victory is found in him. When I say God is counting on you, he's not counting on you to do anything other than to believe and to have faith and to trust and to pray. He's not counting on you to fight the battle. Man, if God was counting on David to fight the battle would have been done. A little boy with a rock, really? The chances, the odds, slim, next to none. God wasn't really. David just had to go through the motions. But the motions had meaning because he trusted God. And it was a sign of his courage. I'm willing. Lord, I'm willing to go out there. I'm willing to do what all these other guys aren't willing to do because I have faith in you and I trust you and there's a courage that's rising up in me that I don't see in anybody else. How many of you know that you're surrounded every day by people who don't have what you have? It's true. And they need to see. They need to see the courage. They need to see faith. They need to see the boldness to live for God, to be a believer, especially right now in this world. Once again, this past week, what we hear going on in France, it's sobering. It's sobering when we realize the times that we're living in, the desperation of people. Sometimes it's overwhelming when we turn on the news, right? If you're like me, even hearing about what happened in France this week, it's like, Lord, how much more? How much more of this do we have to go through? Let me tell you why we haven't come to the end yet. Because there's still people that he wants to be ready when he comes back for us. The only thing that is delaying God from opening up the heavens and saying, okay, church, you've had enough, is the fact that there are still many who don't know him. And there are, in fact, many who don't live like they know him. And God is just giving them a chance. He's giving them one more day. Even though it's costly, and even though this world is going from bad to worse, I believe in my heart of hearts that God really, really wants to rescue us, like right now. But the reason that he's letting time go on, and the reason he's allowing some of these things to happen, is because he's still waiting for those who don't yet know him to come to that saving understanding of his love and his grace. Just like in the chorus we sang earlier, call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, today is the day. No, I can't make that decision for you, but I can provide the opportunity for you. I can give you the opportunity because if you're fighting battles in your own strength, friends, you're going to continue to get beat up. And the giant is going to continue to intimidate you. But when you operate in faith and you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, it's then and only then that you can be victorious. It's then and only then that you'll even make sense of what's going on in the world today. Outside of faith, I don't know how anybody can make sense of what's going on in the world. Outside of looking at the Bible and comparing it to the newspaper, it doesn't make sense. But when you know the word, you realize, hey, this is what God talked about. We just need to be ready. And we need to make sure that all of those who are around us are ready. It would be a sad state of affairs if I had tickets to an NFL game and I ended up going on the wrong day. Can you imagine how that would feel? You show up and the parking lot's empty. No cars in the parking lot. You walk up to the gate's locked, it's closed. Man, I thought I had this right. You pull out your tickets and then realize that those tickets are not for today. That game already took place. You missed your opportunity. And you're out. In a much greater way, there may be some of you who say, I got time. I got time to come to know the Lord. I got time to figure things out. I got time. There's no time that's guaranteed. That's honestly why God's word says today is the day of salvation, because nobody's guaranteed any time beyond the present. That's it. That's all we're guaranteed. It's this moment. And that's why you're here today. You're not here by accident. You're here intentionally because God wants to make a difference in your life. Some of you may have walked with the Lord in times past, but you've grown cold and indifferent towards Him. You know what? You're in the right place today, because this is a place of grace. This is a place where love abounds. And this is a place where imperfect people are serving a perfect God and doing our best to follow Him. So you're in the right place. Some of you maybe are hearing this for the very first time. You're like, I don't know what it means to know God. I don't know what it means to serve Him. Well, it starts with a relationship. And I just want to pray for those who may want to come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. So if you would, just bow your heads with me. I know some of you are thinking right now, man, this is the point where the pastor's going to give an invitation. And, I only come to church a couple times a year, but this is the moment. This is, you know what? Yeah, you're right, because I only get you a couple times a year. And I care enough about you to give you another opportunity to say yes to Jesus. More importantly, God loves you enough to give you another opportunity to say yes. God loves you enough to say, yes, you've blown it, but now get back up and let's move forward. Let's go. Follow me. Be my disciple. Be my follower. If you're here today and you don't have a relationship with Christ currently, but you'd like to have a relationship with Him, just shoot your hand up in the air. I just want to make visual contact with you. I'm not going to call you out or call you up front. Just, I want to pray with you. If you're here and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, but you want one, just shoot your hand up real quick. Anybody? Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, sir. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you in the back. Can we all pray this prayer together? Lord Jesus, I come to you. I realize that I need a Savior. I believe in Jesus. I believe He died on the cross. I believe He was buried in a tomb. But most importantly, He resurrected from that tomb. And He purchased for me my salvation. So I invite you in, Lord. I invite you into my heart to be my Lord and Savior. Forgive me of everything that I've ever done that is displeasing to you. Make my heart new. Wash my heart clean. Give me a brand new start. I trust in you. And I give you my life. I confess that you are my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to encourage those of you who may have prayed that for the first time. You've just made the greatest decision that you could ever make in your life. Right, church? The greatest decision ever. Prayed it quietly to yourself, if you didn't raise your hand, it doesn't matter. If you prayed that in sincerity, God heard you. It's a brand new world for you. But I want to pray for the rest of us, and I just want to ask, here's the thing, it's 20 after, don't anybody, I know we're getting hungry. Just a few more minutes, okay? But I do want to pray for those of us who do have giants that we're facing. Intimidating giants that we're facing. And I know that I'm speaking to a large percentage of people in this room who are facing intimidating giants, issues, concerns, maybe their health issues, financial issues. Yeah, those are two of the greatest giants that we can face, right? Health issues and financial issues. In some ways, I think, are there really any bigger giants than those in life? I mean, those are two humongous issues that we face. Which, by the way, my dad's having a second surgery this week. If you guys would please pray for him on Tuesday. Remember I told you a couple weeks ago they have to go back in and do the second procedure. He's having that done this Tuesday, so be in prayer with him. It's hard. It's hard when you have health issues, right? Financial issues, relational issues. Those are very tough, especially when they're the people that are closest to us, the people that we love the most, but we can't get along. That's tough, is it not? Those are huge giants. But friends, again, what we read earlier, there is no enemy too strong. There's no giant so great that you can't overcome that giant. No warrior or weapon too weak. You may feel weak. You may feel like I can't handle it. Yes, you can. With God, all things are possible. Whatever it is, He's got this. You said it earlier. I know I kind of tricked you into it, but you said it. He's got this. Now trust Him for it. Trust Him with it. Let Him take care of it, right? Because there's no battle too big for Him. It's overwhelming to us, but to Him, not a problem. Not a problem. See, we just need to look at it from His point of view, from His perspective. It's not a problem to Him. And we just need to position ourselves before Him where we say, it's not my battle. God, I'm coming to You. I'm coming to You with it. I'm trusting it to You. I'll do what You want me to do. I'll say what You want me to say. I'll go where You want me to go. But the battle belongs to You. And the victory, as a result, will be mine. Amen? So stand to your feet with me. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to commit whatever the giant is in this moment. I want you to commit it. Why don't we do this? Some of you may be a little uncomfortable with this, but you'll have enough time to wash your hands before we eat. This is an act of faith for some of you because you're like, germs. Yeah. Go ahead, grab that person's hand standing next to you. It's okay. God can override the germs. And here's what I want us to do. I want us to bow our heads for a few moments. If you're facing a giant in your life and you need the encouragement and the prayer of someone else, I just want you to squeeze the hand of the person that you're standing with right now. This is a sacred, sobering moment. Because God's dealing with some major stuff in some of your lives. I'm talking major stuff. I'm talking addictions. I'm talking about giants that you don't know how much longer you can stand against it. You don't know if you can go into that job place another day because every time you go in there, it brings you down. It's a giant to you. Maybe it's a deadline. Maybe it's an unsaved family member. And it's intimidating. What do I say? What do I do? It seems like the more I say, the further away I drive them. Just give it to the Lord right now. Just give it to the Lord. Maybe it's a relational issue. Just give it to the Lord. Squeeze that hand and say, pray for me right now. Believe God with me right now. I need to know that this is God's. I'm not dealing with it, that God's going to deal with it. Right now, just squeeze that hand and pray. Church, pray one for another. Believe God for each other. For victory. For victory. Oh, Lord, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for victory, Lord God. We pray that Your power would be made manifest in every situation, in every circumstance. Oh, God, Your manifest power, your deliverance in every situation where there is a need for deliverance. Lord, break the yokes of bondage in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, break every yoke of bondage, and every temptation, Lord God, can be overcome. And I pray in Jesus' name that every addiction would be broken in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. That every relational issue would be resolved and reconciled in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father God. Every financial issue, God, that is overwhelming, Lord God, as we give it to you, that you would deal with it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Seal it in our hearts now, Lord, because we, those of us who are in you, Lord God, are victorious in Christ Jesus. We are victorious in Christ Jesus. We win. We win. It's his. It's yours, Lord, and we win. We have the victory. We have the victory in Christ Jesus. We thank you for it, Lord God. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Here's what I have you do. Just go ahead and remain standing. We're going to show a video clip. If you want to stay in here and watch it, you can. If you want to go, you can go ahead and kind of make your way by the bathroom, wash your hands, and get ready for dinner. What we want to do, listen up, don't move yet. What we want to do is you'll want to go straight down the hallway if you're going to eat with us. You want to go straight down the hallway here, and then you want to actually pay, and then you can go and get your food, okay? And again, just as a reminder, the only reason we're charging for this is it's a fundraiser fellowship. So, but if you don't have money, tell them to put it on my tab, okay? God bless you. Watch this video if you want and be encouraged by it.